with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific War Time this morning.
You're far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
Hotel Quarters, all hands at your battle station.
You're nervous, count your toes. I'll do the mastermind around here.
You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Well, check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time, join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Science fiction to science fact, from conspiracy theory to conspiracy reality, from George Washington to Barack Obama, from bicameral fissure at the center of your brain to the pulsating, living light year across black hole at the center of our galaxy, your frequency is ascending. Revolution-radio.com, revolutiontalkradio.com, revolutionradio.tv, and freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps, that it does get drunk at a bar and take home some really ugly girls every now and then, presents Strange Universe, the program that is the pinnacle of 16.4 billion. The show that never is afraid of stupid people in large groups, with your host, man so nice they named him thrice. The man whose motorboat is powered by mermaids.
You got it.
The man who catches leprechauns and forces them all to work at Home Depot. So use their powers to the man so nice they named him thrice. The man who believes that members of Congress and the Senate should be forced to wear sponsorship decals on their suits, just like NASCAR, so we know who owns them. There you go. And the man who believes that if there's a 60-40 chance of being right, there's a 91% chance of whatever will probably be. It is I, the Sean David Morton. Welcome. If you just joined us from the Tyrannosaur Radio Network, we were just broadcasting all over Ireland and Scotland, talking about, I don't know, being free. Just, you know, leave us alone. I think it's kind of, it's kind of funny. The guy comes home to his wife and says, hey, honey, let's play the federal government game. And she says, get away from me. Get your hands off me. And the husband goes, that's the spirit. So there you go. And I've always thought it was strange that there's 197 countries on Earth. And I'm sorry, I have the flu still. I'm getting over it. Thanks to my lovely wife, Melissa. Thank you for bringing me all the stuff that I need. I'm, you know, gypsy tea and colloidal silver and Pau D'Arco and vitamin C and
colonic silver.
Yeah. Actually, Sovereign Silver. Hey, let me do a plug for Sovereign Silver. This is the greatest silver that's out there. It's called Sovereign Silver. About a whole big jug of this stuff. I mean, I'm not even kidding. It's big, like huge, like 32-ounce jug of this stuff at the New Living Expo, the yoga raw food expo that I was at in New York this last week. But then, of course, I got sick because I had hippies breathe on me. I don't know what it is. It's just these hippies that breathe all over me, and I'm just genetically not connected to hippies. I don't know what it is. They just breathe on me and I get sick. Every time I go to New York, some weird gumboo. It didn't help either that, again, when I was in New York, I flew out at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I get there at 2:30, 3 o'clock. The guy that was supposed to pick me up doesn't pick me up. And then I have to wrestle and I'm bringing his bags to him. I'm playing, you know, yes, Mazik, can I get your bags for you? You know, a couple hundred pounds worth of his junk that I then have to wrestle onto the air train and then wrestle onto the Long Island Railroad and then wrestle through the streets of New York. Then I'm exhausted and I barely get an hour to just sort of lay down. And of course, everybody's calling me on the phone. Hey, Sean, hey, you're in New York. And then I give my talk and I have to talk for 4 or 5 hours. And I get up the next morning and I host a Strange Universe panel from like 10 a.m. to noon. And then I talk again. I have a lecture at 1 and then I've got another workshop at 3 o'clock. And so I'm talking nonstop. It's just blah, blah. I get sick of hearing myself talk. I know you probably wouldn't think so, but, you know, just blah, blah, blah. The fact that anybody finds anything I have to say interesting is always amazing. So anyway, I got a lot of mail. Actually got a lot of let me see. I want to say hi to Don Otto. I just got some mail in the mailbag, so let's just do mailbag stuff before we go into other things. Sands of Time, book 2. Dear Sean, have you found a publisher for your book yet? If not, and if you decide to self-publish again, I'd be more than happy to help in any way I can, from making a donation to proofreading, fixing grammatical issues, etc. I'm not a professional editor or proofreader, but I know how to polish things up a bit without messing the integrity of the story, which is what a publishing company might want to do. Actually, I just really want to read the next book a lot, so my offer is sincere. I just have a more selfish personal interest in the story. I'm still going to buy the next book, no matter how it's published, having appreciated the first book more than you know. Thanks. Well, thank you, Don. Actually, I'll make an announcement today, kind of reading that, because we are finally going to do the paperback version of Sands of Time. And the paperback version is coming out. What it's going to be is that the book Sands of Time, my one challenge with, especially with book publishers and all that, were saying, oh, there's so much. There's too many words. I'm like, well, what? You want me to give you a book that what? Comes with a box of crayons? Is that what you like? You want a picture book instead? And I don't know.
It should come with a free magnifying glass.
Yeah, a magnifying glass, exactly. So the print's a little tense. So what I've done is that I've taken the original, and I'm sorry for this, but it just makes it a lot easier. I've taken the original hardback collector's edition copy. And every time we would print these, they would just sell out. So if you go on Amazon and try to get the book, it's actually got it listed on Amazon at $311 because everybody wants the book so much and we just keep running out of books. So here's what I've done. I've divided Sands of Time into book one and book two. And in essence, if you want to get both books, I'm sorry, it's going to be probably about the same as buying the the original hardcover. But now you've got a summer read. Now you've got something that if you like the first book, you want to spend $25 on the first book or $20 or what have you. We are going to be taking pre-orders on the site. They'll be done next week. But we have another printing of a couple thousand of these things coming up. And it's book one. And it's got a really cool new cover to it. And so it divides sort of right down the middle. It divides just as the character Ted Humphrey is getting indoctrinated at Area 51, just as he becomes like boss three in the project. And it's puffed out quite a bit. So now it's a nice – it's an Electra type. I always use a font called Electra, which was actually a font that was invented, strange enough, by H.G. Wells. And H.G. Wells invented this font, Electra, because he thought it was the best font for ease of reading and the flow of the eye. And so we always printed all of his books, and I was a big fan of H.G. Wells, obviously, for Time Machine and War of the Worlds and all that. So it was actually printed in a font called Electra. So they're at the printers now, and we should have a bunch of these books next week. So if you want to order, if you want to pre-order on the Strange Universe Radio website, we have a wonderful commercial done by J.P., of course, the problem with JP is JP takes his time. He's got such a wonderful, mellifluous voice. It's not good to rush him. It's just, I bathe in the warm glow of your dulcet tones, JP.
I did do another version, and it was just before you went to Jamaica. So I'll see if I can dig it out because you might have overlooked it. But I did one, and what I did, I actually electronically compressed my voice. So it's still as mellifluous, but it speaks a lot faster now. It's more kind of like this without many breaks in the middle like that.
Okay.
And by the way, yes, we are also broadcasting on the same network as TNS Radio. So you can say hello to the same people who you're just talking to just a few minutes ago.
Hello. I'd like to say hello to Kevin and Lady Antonia Leslie and her wonderful show on that which is Mad World, I think is the name of her show. I kept wanting Antonia. People may not know this, but Antonia Leslie is a lady. She's actually Lady Antonia Leslie, and her father was Desmond Leslie, and Desmond Leslie was very close friends with George Adamski, and George Adamski was one of the godfather, if you will, of the modern UFO movement. And in the early 1950s, George Adamski published a number of books. Inside the spaceships, flying saucers are real, and had video. And actually, George Adamski was also good friends with a man named George Hunt Williamson. George Hunt Williamson, George Adamski, and Desmond Leslie were responsible for also photographing these motherships that were actually contacting and picking up Adamski. And Adamski wrote a number of books which gave us accurate descriptions of what spaceflight was like, what space travel outside the atmosphere or moving through the atmosphere was like, accurate descriptions of the backside of the moon. He gave some interesting stuff about Venus, interesting enough, which I can never understand because the only thing that where there seems to be a hole in his rationale was beings from Venus. And maybe the cities that he visited on Venus were inside some sort of protective dome or something, or maybe they've because obviously the if you believe the cosmos version of it, that the surface of Venus is – I don't know. It's all sulfur dioxide, and it's 900 degrees, and could be what the Earth is going to be like. Yes,
I think Frank Strangers said that they live on the inside, like as people live on the hollow Earth, they live on the hollow on the hollow Venus.
Okay, well, that's that would come from Valiant Thor, and I think it's interesting too that as you progress through ufology, you will notice that back in the 50s we were contacting beings from Mars, from Venus, from Jupiter. Never any beings from Uranus. I always notice Uranus is always left out of that. There's never anybody contacting from Uranus.
I am the thing from Uranus.
And then as ufology progresses, you will notice that our contacts get further and further away. Then it's the Arcturians, then it's the Pleiadians, then it's the Sirians, here's the Lord God King of the contacts, is we have Andromedans, who are not from the constellation of Andromeda, but are from the galaxy of Andromeda. So they come from a whole other galaxy away, just to visit Earth, just to visit our screwy little planet. Stephen Melendez writes and says, "Good afternoon. I'm a reporter working on a story about last weekend's New Life Expo. I'm particularly interested in how the event harmoniously brought together people with such diverse views of the universe, especially on the Strange Universe panel, which Mr. Morton moderated. I was hoping to speak to him on the phone about how he felt the expo and the panel went and some of the ideas he touched on during the expo. Might he have some time for a phone interview, perhaps this week? You can reach me at et cetera, et cetera. Thanks for your help, Stephen Melendez." Well, the Strange Universe panels all come out of my work on I had a TV show on UPN that ran for about 3 years called Strange Universe, or originally Strange Universe Tonight, and then just became Strange Universe. And it was a great show. I mean, it was a fantastic show. And it all started at the New Life Expo years ago. I had a man by the name of Bill Siegel approach me and hand me a card and said, "Hi, Bill Siegel. I listened to your talk. I'm very impressed." And his card had Chris Craft Industries on it. And I said, "Well, thank you, but I'm not real interested in buying a boat, like a wooden old Chris Craft." And he says, "No, Chris Craft Industries, myself and my brother just bought a television network called UPN and United Paramount Network. And he said, we'd like you to work on some shows." And I said, "Okay." So they dragged me in, and I'm pitching a show I had that I pitched for Sci-Fi Channel, because we basically started Sci-Fi Channel. We did the first original programming on Sci-Fi Channel, which was a show called Mysteries from Beyond the Other Dominion, with a host by the name of Dr. Franklin Rule, who's still a great guy and an amazing guy, crazy, crazy guy. "Hey, did you know that clams are from Venus?" You know, I mean, crazy stuff like that. And he still has the ability to actually take a straw and pierce a potato with a straw. He does all kinds of, amazing stuff. And so they walk me down the hallway and introduce me to Margaret Roberts and Paul Barras. And this all then becomes a show called Strange Universe Tonight. And we did five pilot episodes, which is really weird because they hire all these other people that had worked on, news programs for CBS and 60 Minutes and all that. And I kept saying, "Well, these people don't know anything about the occult. They don't know anything about my world." And as it started out, virtually every show that got produced for the first five episodes was my program. They did Area 51. They did the Chupacabra. They did, asteroids hitting the Earth. They did Audrey Ane and the Miami Contacts. I mean, so the entire five episode pilots, they did, because it was a strip show, which means it was Monday through Friday. Half an hour, it was half an hour every night. It was like a news program of the paranormal, which was really hard to do. I mean, really difficult to do that kind of stuff, because it's not like a news program where you just go out and say, "Oh, well, here it's raining in Encino." You have to actually then lay the groundwork, and you have to have longer pieces, and you have to explain what's going on. And so it was very difficult as well, too, because the president of the network was a woman named Lucy Sulhaney. And Lucy Sulhaney had a huge success with black programming and a guy by the name of Arsenio Hall, and that was her success. Her failure was she used to run a program at Fox where then she wrote a check to Chevy Chase for $20 million for him to do a talk show before realizing that Chevy Chase couldn't do a talk show. And after getting $20 million, which he kept, by the way, and then renaming this big studio, the Chevy Chase Studio, Chevy Chase lasted 6 weeks tops, maybe 2 weeks, before they canceled them. And everybody realized that this was one of the greatest mistakes in broadcast history, that Chevy Chase couldn't host a talk show. So here's Lucy Sulhaney, who has this weird wall eye, and she's just all kind of crazy. And UPN had Star Trek Voyager and Strange Universe and another show called Gemini Man. And The Guardian. Gemini Man starred Bruce Greenwood, who later went on something as Captain Pumpkin. She wanted to connect all the science fiction and paranormal stuff with black programming, like Moesha and Brandy and whatever else, which just really didn't work. And I'm not, I say this not to be racist at all. The black people who were involved, the Afro-Americans who were involved with the network, used to call it UPN, underpaid Negroes. They were the ones that coined it, by the way, because they paid them nothing. And, you know, in all fairness, the Moesha and Brandy, they made nothing for those programs. So Strange Universe, which started out at like 7:30 at night, then got moved to 11:30 at night behind, again, a black music magazine called Vibe, which was a music show and whatever. So whatever. So we lasted about 3 years or so, and people still remember it fondly to this day. So and how does the Strange Universe panel work? I think we had Diana Brownstone on the panel. We had Audrey Light Language, who does this interesting kind of malika. We had my good buddy Thundercloud, and Thunder was great because Thunder is this genius who does holographic technology. You can check out his stuff at modernhealthcoach.com. modernhealthcoach.com, and he comes up with the holograms, and these holograms can do everything from knock out the radiation from a cell phone to actually you then put them on your car, and they cut the emissions on your car, they save you gas. I mean, it's just amazing stuff. He's working on deals with UPS parcel service to be able to put these on their trucks to be able to save gas and emissions. All they'd have to do is get one company to test this on their fleet and see that you can actually save gas and time and whatever else. So everybody kind of gets along because we're all part of the new ascension. We're all part of the new energy. Diana Brownstone, for example, she was great because she was talking about the astrology of what's coming, the financial astrology of what's happening. She has something called the Barbeau Index by a famous French astrologer named André Barbeau, who is predicting, in essence, he's run the transits and the squares and the planetary positions for about the last 2,000 years. And he predicts that after the elections in 2016, that the economy, for whatever reason, the economy of the entire planet just goes straight down the toilet. And that the low point for all of mankind, which is also predicted by the Great Pyramid of Giza, that the low point for the planet through something that could happen any day. I mean, that appears to be – there's a feature in the pit of the Great Pyramid that for all intents and purposes, you could call it the deluge solar, the solar deluge, and some kind of cosmic event, some kind of something. And we don't know if it happens. There's a plus minus of about 3 years or so on this, but it's going to happen between now and approximately 2017. Now, whether or not it is an electromagnetic shift of the poles, whether or not it's a solar flare, the solar kill shot, or a war of some kind, a nuclear conflict. We maybe no longer face the threat. I don't know why, but we no longer face the threat of nuclear annihilation and the annihilation of the planet and the entire human race in an afternoon. We're no longer bracing the Cold War. I think it's funny that the military-industrial complex now expects you to spend as much money, and the military should spend as much money now on a gaggle of terrorists, a key group of maybe 150 to 500 who on their worst day could probably kill 2,500, maybe 3,000, maybe 5,000 people. And somehow we're spending as much money on that as we were spending on global thermonuclear annihilation between the United States and Russia and China. And so we don't have to defend ourselves against them anymore. We're going to blame a bunch of guys living in caves with cell phones that, you know, we're going to spend as much money tracking them. Oh, and by the way, if you want to kidnap one of our soldiers, we'll swap you. It's a 5-for-1 deal. So we'll give you 5 of theirs for 1 of ours. So there it is. So in regards to the Strange Universe panel, I think everybody gets along because, one, it's me and I make them get along. And two, I try to spread out the conversation. You had Stephen Papaitek, who is he talks very, very fast, and he's a brilliant guy. He does shamanistic gatherings and drum circles, whatever, in New York, and he goes like things like the Cleopatra's Needle at the History Museum, and he has groups of people there. So you had Stephen Papaitek. You then had Diana Brownstone, who was talking about the future in economics and how that affects astrology. You then had Audrey Light Language. And Audrey, once again, speaking this light language, she and Jody Sirota and Judy Humphreys, who's now changed her name to, I think, Jody. Well, she changed her name to something. But they do this thing where they channel some being and they go, and it's supposed to activate something in you. I don't understand it. I think the ladies that do it are very charming and very lovely. To me, it sounds like speaking in tongues. It sounds like the old Pentecostal stuff where you get slain by the spirit, you jump up and you roll on the floor. I got taken to a Pentecostal church when I was a kid by our black nanny. It scared me to death. These, you know, huge black ladies, 400-pound black ladies in these big bonnets and these crinoline dresses. And they always wanted to sit on the aisle so they could jump up and go, blah, 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 blah. And they'd fall into the aisle. And then they'd roll because it was bowl-shaped. And they would, like, roll down to the bottom. And we had these guys who were Houston Oilers at the time, these big, giant ushers who were picking up these huge, fat ladies and, you know, putting them back in their chairs. And it's funny because in these black Pentecostal churches, it looked like a bowling alley where the ball return was broken. They were just all rolling around at the bottom. And but it scared me to death because they're like, blah, 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 blah. They get slain by the spirit and jump up and start, you know, shouting in tongues. You want to see somebody really good at it. Yeah, Jimmy Swaggart was the best because he would jump up and do the whole thing where he, like, you know, abba labba ding dong. All right, dear Sean. Wonderful. Being that we are both busy people, instead of us playing phone tag, it'd be better if you could get on the counter. So this is for the conspiracytheorysummit.com. So thank you, Valencia. Ask you to fill out a few questions, summit information. Once you set the date and time, I'll receive an email notification. All right, so there you go. That's that. New message via your website. Dear Sean. Oh, okay. This is my friend Susan. Did you make the plane? I look at a map of New York, and I don't think a knowledgeable taxi driver would have done anything different than I did, considering the traffic. I sure hope you got there in time. While I have I've taken remote viewing classes with you, I'm not good enough to have seen you on the plane. Sue Perko. Thank you, Sue. I had a lady volunteer to drive me to the airport. This lovely lady, Sue Perko, has been a good friend of mine for many, many years. And unfortunately, she volunteered. I was going to take the air train. Once you just go across the Penn Station and you get on the air train, you get on the Long Island Railroad and it takes you out to the air train and then it goes right to the whole thing. But she volunteered to drive me. So it's funny because her car, she said, I warn you, my car smells like gas. And it really does. I mean, it's like we were driving around with the windows down because it was either a gas leak in her car or she'd spilled gasoline in her back seat or something. And I had to get the only New Yorker who had a car, or, you know, actually had to get to JFK. So she's driving around and going all the different places. And by the way, Sue, if you're listening to the show, I got there in time. Thank you so much. It was a bit of a rush, but I made the plane in plenty of time. Actually, the plane was delayed. So thank you, Sue. Of course, I'm talking about, you know, not the good stuff.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I'm Joshua P. Warren. Imagine a box that can make your wishes come true. Does it sound unbelievable? Do you know, over the years, books have been burned and people have gone to prison for discussing this? Why? Because millions of people around the world say it works. I'm talking about the Wishing Machine Radionics Box. These are extremely rare, and for a limited time, you can get one. Go right now to StrangeUniverseRadio.com and click the link to watch a free video about the Wishing Machine and what it can do for your health, relationships, finances, and more. The Wishing Machine can help you with most any problem. Again, you can't find these every day. So go right now to StrangeUniverseRadio.com and watch the free video to learn how the Wishing Machine can help you. You'll see why I and countless people around the world use one every day.
Your dreams come true. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Did you know that Pyridine.com isn't just famous for life-changing medallions transforming your reality? But that we also have the greatest cutting-edge supplements on the planet. We provide shiwuchi with fotai root. The Chinese use it for longevity, sexuality, and replenishing lost qi, removing radiation, warming the blood, and nourishing the liver, kidneys, and eyes. Pyrolite, our powdered electrolyte mineral drink, is packed with over 78 plant-extracted minerals. Start your day with a boost that's all natural and organic. Use Pyrolite with our third-generation full-spectrum vitamins that promotes balanced synergy, oxidation, and anti-inflammatory support. Sourced from the best growers in the world and all soy, dairy, and GMO free. Used together, these enhance you physically, allowing you to feel our Pyridine systems and nuclear receptors working from the inside out. Walk with us to new horizons, being the very best that you can be.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Pyridine.com. That's Pyridyne.
Can holograms create a quantum leap in your life? Science says the very nature of our universe is holographic, that all matter is light and energy in its frozen state. Holographic replication of the base atomic structure now allows us to charge and change matter into the forms and patterns we wish. And now you can harness the near infinite power of holograms in your everyday life to serve you for your greatest and highest good. Researchers at thunderandlightteam.org have successfully now used holograms to add properties to a target, completely changing its attributes and potential. These holograms have been reported to increase green gas mileage, protect against cell phone EMF, computer and microwave radiation and harmful toxins, aid in the sleep cycle, remove bitterness, changing the pH of your food and drinks. The possibilities are endless, and these findings are verified by leading quantum scientists and physicists worldwide. Now you can experience this miracle of science in your everyday life. Download your first holographic emblem absolutely free and learn more about this cutting-edge tech at thunderandlightteam.com. That's thunderandlightteam.com. Make your life better than you ever thought possible.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. Cause there's a million things to be, you know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. You can do what you want, the opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, and you can make it undo, you see. Ah, it's easy. Ah, you only need to know.
There you go, Cass Stevens.
Well, if you want to say yes.
Come
say
on, yes. This song just makes you feel better. Cass Stevens was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yay. You know, that's the one thing that pissed me off about 9/11. I didn't care about the buildings or anything else. It's, you know, the Muslims took away Cat Stevens. What's up with that? Now he's Yosef Mohammed, and, you know, he lives in Egypt, and he sings, if you want to be me, be me. If you want to be you, be you. So come on, let's kill all the Jews. You know that you can. Come on, Cat Stevens, really? Peace train? Now he's a Muslim? All right. There we go. Want to say thank you again to Lady Antonia Leslie. Again, her father, Desmond Leslie, was very good friends with George Adamski. And she actually has somewhere in her possession the actual footprints, the actual plaster cast footprints of Orthon, who is the extraterrestrial supposedly from Venus who made contact with George Adamski in Joshua Tree National Park in November of 1953, I think it was. Can't find him, though. We looked through the entire Castle Leslie, tore the place apart, which was hard to do. So there you go. And she has a show called The Mad World. I kept telling her that she should have a show called Castle Leslie, that then she could open the door and welcome to Castle Leslie. She could have a butler and the whole thing. And, you know, and actually JP could play, hello, welcome to Castle Leslie. You know, JP could play this fantastic riffraff kind of character for Antonia. Yes, welcome to Antonia Leslie's Castle Leslie. Don't you think, JP? So there you go. And I like your new Skype picture, by the way. It's very snappy. Get your tuxedo on and all that.
I was going to a ball, in fact, yes, at Hogwarts. My son goes to Hogwarts school. I mean, it's kind of like Hogwarts. It's a ancient school in the north of Scotland.
Yes.
It's not exactly on an island. It's kind of been a forest, really. And it's called Gordonston, and it's very, very, very posh. And the Leavers' Ball, which is, I think you would call it prom night. Where,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Did the parents go to prom night?
Not usually. No,
all right. Well, anyway,
unless they're chaperones. No, really, right. Do you want to your daughter go to prom and eventually lose her virginity in the backseat of a car?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Well, it is that sort of thing. But with this one, we were invited to a ball. Well, it wasn't really a ball. It was just like get drunk and then go home kind of thing. And hang out with the other all divorced parent couples. You can't have your. I mean, it's like if your parents are divorced, right? You're only your mother and father go, not the mother and the father and the new husband, the new new girlfriends. You know, so it's like there's a slightly tense atmosphere of all these, you know, reformed divorced couples who have, you know, kept friendly for the children and all that. Anyway, so there I am, and I'm trying not to look shabby and poor because I got zero pennies, but I do have I bought it for £5 at this thing called Lidl's, which is like the cheapest shop in the universe. It's like Walmart, you know, squared. And yes, they actually sold a black tie with dress shirt for £5 and bow tie for £5. Which is like, wow, $7, right? And I bought two of them. you know, now, I'm not stupid.
You know why? Because now we sound like a couple of girls. Every time you say to a woman, you say, wow, what a wonderful dress. The woman's like, then they have to play a game where she's like, oh, well, guess what? I got it on sale. Oh, really? Well, I got, you know, what did you pay? I paid 20 quid. Well, I got my dress at this other store and I paid 15. And oh, well, no, I got my dress. And eventually goes to the point where, yes, well, I'm wearing this new fashion couture that I stripped off a dead hobo in an alley. Well, that's nothing. I dug up a dead hobo in his grave and took the dress off her. And so they always go to this war about what something costs. Anyway, and yeah. one of the funniest lines I've ever heard on 30 Rock was Tina Fey comes in and looks at Alec Baldwin and he's in his tuxedo. And she says, why are you wearing a tuxedo? And he says, it's after 5 o'clock. What am I, a farmer? He's wearing a tuxedo. Or on Downton Abbey, I think it's always hilarious where you have Maggie Smith, you know, Maggie Smith, who's the dowager. And I think the Lord of the Manor, Lord Grantham, comes in and instead of wearing tails and a white tie, he's wearing his tuxedo. And he goes, what are you dressed to go to a barbecue? are these your rumpus room clothing? And because Downton Abbey just cracks me up. I was watching Downton Abbey with this friend of mine, who's this raging Democrat, by the way. This is my lesbian friend in Florida.
A raging Democrat.
She's a raging Democrat, and yet she's fascinated with Downton Abbey. And they forced me to watch like the first season. I'm at her house. And I thought, oh, why? And I'm looking at Downton Abbey and they're getting upset about, oh, my God, you know, this spoon is incorrect and it's in the wrong place. And I'm watching this going, you know, my grandmother's from Ireland. And my grandmother used to say, you know why the Irish thought that America was heaven? Because you got off the boat, they gave you a gun and they told you to shoot the fucking English. And that's, you know, like we fought a war against these people to not have this culture here, to not have this bloodline culture of, you know, pedigree of special privilege and all that stuff. So, and now I watch Downton Abbey anyway, just to watch. Like I said, I make fun of it. It's like, oh yes, well, Lord Marlborough, now that my husband has died and now I have a child, of course I will marry you. And Lord Marlborough goes, yay! And it's like, we'll be back to Downton Syndrome Abbey after this. So there you go. Oh, and also I wanted to comment as well. Thank you. I don't know why we got this big response to this dopey like joke I made about bears yesterday. Did you hear me talk about bears?
Bears? No.
Yeah, I was talking about the Arctic, and for some reason I had all these people texting me about how funny I was being because I was so sick. I literally just got up from a nap, and I'm sitting here drinking tea, and you know everybody's talking about the Arctic disappearing, and everybody's saying that, well, you know, polar bears are just like people, and they're just like people, and they need to be saved. And I said, well, if polar bears are just like people. If they're like white people because they're white bears, then what they'll do is they'll just take the land away from the grizzly bears, get the black bears to do all the work, and then get the panda bears to build them railroads, right? And it's not racist because it's bears.
Not quite. It's just sailing on the edge of it, though.
Yeah, but it's bears, you know. And then, of course,
it's barely legible.
And they would form their own – yeah, barely – and then form their own nation. And their what would their nation be called? The United States of America, right? And eventually,
course,
and then they'd take all the koala bears and ship them to Australia, and all the gummy bears would go to, I don't know, San Francisco. And then, of course, a polar bear would get married to a black bear, and they would have a child, and that bear would become president of America, and his name would be Barack Obama. Wouldn't that be? Hey, Sean. Oh, shut up. Okay. Hey, Sean. This is Sherry in PDX. I have no idea where that is. You read my birthday email on the air, 4/18. Happy birthday, Sherry. I have a couple of questions. I hope when you are well, you might get back to me. I will. First, I would like to know how much a horoscope reading is. And second, why aren't those girls from Cheetahs in New York? They also became famous. I mentioned Cheetahs in New York, where my friend Greg says, I have these girls who are huge fans of the show. They listen to the show all the time. And he takes me to this rather interesting upscale. I mean, there's like two, I presume they're upscale dance clubs or strip clubs or whatever, erotic dance places. There's Cheetahs and then there's Sapphire, I guess. That's the other one. So he takes me to Cheetahs on 43rd and between 7th and 8th. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And he goes, well, these girls are fans of yours. I'm like, what? And I go in and it was the first taste I had that this show is actually popular. They have a bunch of girls in their bikinis, like, you know, run up and go, oh my God, you're Sean David Morton, you're Sean David Morton, and just go crazy over me. And it's really weird to have, like, you know, strippers jumping up and down and buying you drinks, which is really weird. So, and I spoke to this girl, Abigail, who was a fan, and then she turned these other girls onto it. And Abigail had a whole thing where she was in high finance and she worked on Wall Street and got caught up in the whole, I don't know, financial debacle. And she literally was one of those girls that was like really smart and amazingly brilliant and was involved on Wall Street and was now working at this club to, you know, kind of shore up her resume. And this other girl from South Africa, April, was also kind of interesting as well. So anyway, all these girls came up. And so anyway, so she says, why aren't those girls from Cheetahs in New York who are obviously making money sending some your way as well as the station? I am at below fixed income status, and yet I worry every day about all you guys. Yeah, because rent's due, and I've got Serbians knocking on my door for rent. You all work hard and deserve to be compensated, yes. The tech you all must know and understand to even get the show up and running is amazing to me. I have JP to thank for that. I have Steve Travesty to thank for that. I have obviously Nighthawk, Mike Ringley, who runs the station, who puts all the T8 servers together and all the stuff I don't understand. Also, how do I email Steve? I listened to a show the other day with Johnny Don't Play, and I wanted to ask a few questions. Anyway, keep up the awesome shows. You enlighten, entertain, and educate us, and we ladies here in Portland, that's where she is, are delighted and grateful for all your efforts. I think it's interesting that Portland, which is – I think they're competing now because Portland is the strip club capital of North America. She says the ladies in PDX, Sherry, Sue, and Kate. So I guess that's Portland. PDX, Portland. All right. Portland is like – it's the library – it's the bookstore capital of the world, and it's also the strip club capital of the world. So you literally could get – a dissertation on Middle Eastern politics and global finance, and possibly the economic reset, while getting a lap dance. That's kind of interesting. So so there you go. So Sherry, if you want a reading, usually I charge. I do two things. I do an astrology reading and I do a tarot reading. It's $250, and that includes a complete natal chart. It includes a chart of what we call astrocartography, where I do an analysis of everything that you're. There's a fantastic computer program, an astrocartography program that actually takes your birthday and explodes it across the world. So now you can see the various transits of the planets that were crossing the surface of the Earth at the moment that you were born. If you move to one of these places where these lines are, for example, a Venus line is good for love, moon lines are good for relationship, Mars line is good for – Mars line and North Node lines are good for a career – Venus lines are also good for vacations. It's, you know, you're not, you want to avoid Pluto lines, Uranus lines, Chiron lines, because they, you know, it's damage and change and what have you. But I do an astrocartography chart for you, showing you good places to live. Also solar quest, which means that on your birthday each year, as the sun goes to the exact degree, it's the most powerful for you because it's conjuncting the day you were born. And so there's a whole solar quest where you travel to an area or city or a place in the world that has the best lines for you. And you have to go the day before your birthday, stay there the day of, and stay there the day after. So it's sort of a 72-hour thing where you go to where that line is. And it's great. You get to travel around the world on a pilgrimage really to empower yourself. And to so it's $250 for a tarot reading, complete natal chart, complete what we call a transit chart, which is your own personal horoscope for about the next 6 months or so. And as I said, tarot readings. And I use I have kind of a patented method of two different decks of cards. One is the Waite Rider deck, which gives you the cross and the staff, which they actually call the Celtic cross and staff. And then I use a Toth deck to sort of the first one is like the desktop, and the Toth deck is like the cursor or the interface that then helps you explain what's going on with it. And, you know, it sort of helps. And like I said, you've heard some of the thumbnail stuff that I've done. I actually went to Oxford University to study in their summer school astrological program. And for many, many years, I worked psychic hotlines. I was featured on Kenny Kingston, Cabrina Kincaid, Dionne Warwick. Dionne Warwick hosting a psychic hotline, which is very strange because she didn't even know the way to San Jose. So how could she host a psychic hotline? Do you know? Although it's really weird because Dionne Warwick, I mean, really looked like the devil. I mean, she looks like if Satan had a kid, it would be her. So anyway, so there you go. So a shout out to all you lovely ladies in Portland, Sherry, Sue, and Kate, some of the loveliest girls in the world. And all that. On our topic, and somebody's recommending news breaks every day. Yeah, Okay, somebody's Jack Stewart Marketing Consulting is recommending a guest on the show. Next Friday the 13th, we're going to have Joshua P. Warren is going to be on the show. Josh Warren, Friday the 13th, he's going to be coming on talking about psychic warfare and talking about all kinds of good things. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I missed one. Yes, thank you for making me feel better soon. And here we go. Wait, there was one about a bond here. So, and I just wrote off a bond. I just had a success story. I was going to have the lady actually call in. I was hoping, just to tell you that I'm not making this up, that her house was supposed to be sold on Monday, and they were going to kind of sell her house out from underneath her. And thank you. There we go. There's that. Here we go. And so she called me in a panic. I'm always kind of a last resort to people. I try to explain to people that the money system in the United States is fake. It's all bogus. It's not de jure. It's not legal. It's not lawful. It's de facto, which means we just use it because they force us to. And again, the majority of governments as well are all corporations. It's now all these corporations disguised as governments, and all these governments have Dun & Bradstreet numbers, and they do business as, they have DBAs, you know, the entire deal. So in the case of this woman, I keep trying to explain to people that they extend you your own credit. When you go into a bank and you give them their social security number and you sign on the bottom line and you make a promise of sweat equity that you will go out and sweat every day to pay back this debt, that in essence what they're doing is chopping off your arm and cooking up and serving you your fingers, and you're happy about it. And and you're like, ooh, yum, 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 thank you so much, when all they're doing is taking your money using a debt for credit swap and taking your Social Security card and your own credit, which is then extended to you by the Federal Reserve. They sprinkle magic pixie dust on that contract, which, by the way, every single one of these contracts says you can repay it in cash, check, money order, legal monetary instrument, or other. And other is the use of a bond. And you can pay off debts, especially court cases or any public exaction, which, of course, are taxes, franchise tax board. And this is a Supreme Court case called Hagar v. Reclamation District, which says that basically no public exaction can be forced to be paid with private funds. Well, Federal Reserve notes or FRNs, they say Federal Reserve note right at the top. They don't say U.S. dollar. They say Federal Reserve note at the top. And a Federal Reserve note is privately printed. It's not redeemable in gold and silver, so it's not legal money under Article 1, Section 10. And it used to say this note is legal tender for all debts public and private and is redeemable in lawful money, or actually used to say gold or silver at any Federal Reserve bank, basically saying that this is just a piece of paper you can carry around in your pocket until you want to take it to the bank and get actual money for it in the form of gold or silver. And then they outlawed gold and silver. The funny part about this is that then what the Federal Reserve did between 1933 and 1935 is they said, if you want to bring in your $20 gold piece, which is worth $20 then, we'll give you 35 Federal Reserve notes for your $20 gold piece. Well, $15 was a lot of money back then. If you figure that a $20 gold piece could buy a really nice three-piece suit of clothes or a tuxedo for JP, of course he got it for $5 somewhere, or he stripped it off a dead hobo out in front of his house. And so the idea was $15 was a great deal of money. $15 back then is probably the equivalent of about, I don't know, $350, $400 today. So the challenge is that you can actually write a bond for, you know, for debt. So this lovely lady, Carol, heard me speaking up in San Francisco, and I talked about how you can use the bond process to set off, settle, and discharge court cases and mortgages and student loans, but specifically student loans. And what I'm looking for is people that have student loans that are interested in doing this, because I think student loans are probably the most pernicious, because you have these poor kids that are, you know, that are sweating and bleeding through college to get a better education to expand their minds, and they're getting out of decent schools with anywhere between $40,000 and $60,000 in debt. They usually have to live at home, or they have to work. They can't exercise their real potential, and they wind up working, you know, as debt slaves and living with their parents or doing whatever, instead of really using that youth and exuberance to contribute to society. So there's a way to pay these off. And by the way, you can't bankrupt out of a student loan. They won't let you. The only way to actually pay them is either you pay them Federal Reserve notes or you bond them out. So Arne Duncan is the head of Sallie Mae. And so we figured this out. There was a lady, Amaranda, who came down, and she wanted us to do a student loan for her. And then it was like, oh, well, I can't pay. And I'm like, well, it costs money to just to get the people together to do this. So anyway, the question is from Sandy. Hi, Sandy. Sandy says, hi, how much does Son charge to write a bond for someone with a federal student loan? Do the charges vary case by case? I have a friend who is a career resident doctor, and he has at least $500,000 in student loans. Needless to say, it is a crushing debt. I just ordered the two-set Superman DVDs and have yet to get them and review, but would like also like your comments on what can be done for this person. Thanks. Love your show. Sandy, we charge $2,500. Usually some people, it should be, wow, if we charged, you know, 3% or 5% or 10% or whatever the debt was. But it's $2,500, which is pretty cheap considering you're actually writing off $500,000 in debt. You actually, what you do is you put the bond together. There's seven things that have to go on the bond under Modern Money Mechanics, which is written by the Chicago Federal Reserve Board. You can read that if you want to take a look at how the money system really works. It's PDF'd all over the internet, Modern Money Mechanics. Also, you can look at Section 15 and 16 of the Federal Reserve Act. And Section 15 and 16, if you understand what they're saying, in essence gives you the key to all of it, really shows you how to write it off. There's seven things that you need to put on a bond. And that's your Social Security number with dashes on the public side, without dashes on the private side, your name in all capital letters, your name in upper and lower case, the offset bond number, which actually then goes on the back of the card as well, a notary stamp or seal. And then you need to get two other creditors, secured party creditors, to back up the surety bond, which I guess is really eight things, I guess, instead of seven things. But if you put these things on, I mean, you can put these things on a ham sandwich and actually hand them to a bank, and a bank can monetize them. You can write this stuff on a napkin, and a bank can monetize them. And when I say monetize, again, has to do with the public and the private. It has to do with private funds. And you can't write a bond for $10 million and take it to a bank and go out and spend the money. It's non-negotiable. It's simply for the set-off, settlement, and discharge of mortgages or debts that you've already incurred. So, talk about that in a second. This is Sean David Morton. Kind of have the flu, so a little slow today, but thanks for listening to Strange Universe Radio. We'll be back after this.
Enjoy your
extra big ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you're having
trouble.
Come
on. My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds, 25 years in the freezer, long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What do we do in life? It goes in eternity.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Will you fight? No! We will run! And we will live!
Shame on you!
This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails, but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's gonna be easy.
You're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say,
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day.
Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Patch the Chicago.
Who's with me?
All right, let's fly!
And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall
know my name is the Lord! But I
tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day!
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. One world coming together to bring freedom home. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Did you know that Pyridine.com isn't just famous for life-changing medallions transforming your reality, but that we also have the greatest cutting-edge supplements on the planet? We provide shiwuchi with fotai root. The Chinese use it for longevity, sexuality, and replenishing lost qi, removing radiation, warming the blood, and nourishing the liver, kidneys, and eyes. Pyrolite, our powdered electrolyte mineral drink, is packed with over 78 plant-extracted minerals. Start your day with a boost that's all natural and organic. Use Pyrolite with our third-generation full-spectrum vitamins that promotes balanced synergy, oxidation, and anti-inflammatory support. Sourced from the best growers in the world and all soy, dairy, and GMO-free. Used together, these enhance you physically, allowing you to feel our pyridine systems and nuclear receptors working from the inside out. Walk with us to new horizons, being the very best that you can be.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Pyridine.com. That's Pyridyne.
What are we supposed to do?
I'm going to fight, because I'm used to it. The rest of you are going to have a tougher choice. And look, I don't want to sell it to you. It's too ugly for that. And it's ugly, and it's hard. But when you're fighting in your own backyard, you're fighting for your family, it all hurts a little less, and it makes a little more sense. But for us, this is our home.
Even the tiniest flea can drive your big dog crazy. So the first thing we have to do is learn how to work together. Become a unit.
And that's going to take some time. So we're going to have to evolve. Rewire our reflexes. Learn new skills and adapt old ones. So we'll find people we can trust. Friends with their ears to the ground who can help us get the things we need to fight back. Watch what they do. Study their tactics, their routines. The more we know, the easier it will be to hurt them. But we'll need to be smart, and we'll need to be patient. Let them on our terms. When we're good and ready, we inherited our freedom. Now it's up to all of us to fight for it.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, where the fight begins and information never sleeps.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is Lorian Fenton from the Fenton Perspective. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now we take you back to Strange Universe with your host, Sean David Morton.
Every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people, and I'm wondering why. Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
There we go. That's Bob Orman with a song called "Let's Think About Living." I'm trying to twist JP's arm and get his band to do that song in Scotland. I think it'd be a huge hit. What do you think, JP?
Well, if we can't get our band to play "Sweet Home Alabama," then we couldn't play that.
So, but the thing is, that great slide guitar that goes and just the fact that he's talking about. Let's stop thinking about the lion and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life. I think that's a good theme song for you Glasgowegians.
yeah, we could maybe jazz it up, you know, with the lion and the man with the AK-47.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking. That would be actually pretty cool. What was I talking about? I was talking about bonds. Yeah, okay. You want me to write off your student loan? I'll write off your student loan. $500,000, easy. $2,500. There you go. And as a matter of fact, we're trying to do student loans. And the good news is, once again, this lady's house, she owed, once again, there isn't any money. So she had about an $800,000 debt on this house. The bank was going to sell her house. I mean, it was a mortgage sale. The sheriffs were going to sell it and the whole thing, and it was going to happen Monday. So, of course, I write a bond for her. We send the bond into who needs to send it. We send all the copies. You write the bond, and there's a follow-up as well where you have a notary. Then say, okay, you've received the bond. Now we need the write-off of the debt. That's the notice of fault, opportunity to cure. You've gotten the bond. You need to do certain things with it. Then you send a notice of default send a notice of default saying, okay, you've been warned once. You need to do this. And then the last one is a notice of default and dishonor, which now you're not only in default, but you've dishonored the request of a public notary who was an officer of the court. And the notary then enters what's called a notary protest. And you can walk in any court in the world and say, look, I noticed them three times. I gave them a monetary instrument. Here it was. It was sent registered mail, U.S. Post Office. And they didn't return it. After 90 days, you have an accorded satisfaction. And again, if I write a check and give it to somebody and they don't like the check or they don't want to accept the check, then I'm like, all right, well, you have to give back the check, the original wet ink signature. Can't send me a copy of the check. You got to give me back the check. And if they don't, And a bank might send you a letter that says, oh, we don't like the bond. All right, fine. We sent you a self-addressed stamp envelope. Send the bond back. and they never will. They just won't, because they keep the bond. They keep the bond on deposit, and any bank can monetize those bonds and take it from the public, take it from the private into the public side, and monetize it, and then borrow money against it. That's what bonds are for, especially when you're dealing with a government agency, because Hagar v. Reclamation District, once again, says that any government agency, any public exaction, which is anything, especially a loan from Fannie Mae or Sally Mae or Freddie Mac, actually, can be written off, settled, and discharged with a bond. And so this lady was freaking out. She was like, oh, my God, you know, the sale is still on the calendar. And, you know, she didn't get nasty with me, but I've had people say, you know, oh, this isn't going to work. And, oh, what are you doing? And, and I said, it's okay. Everything has a way of working out in the end. And so I'm giving a lecture in New York. It was before I got the flu. Giving a lecture in New York, and she texts me during my lecture. I take a break. I look at the text. And I actually have somebody in the class read the text that says that she actually checked online, and the sale of her home that was supposed to happen on Monday, not postponed, mind you, but the mortgage company canceled the sale, canceled it flat out. So the bank has already paid the taxes on the house. So I suggested to her that it's like $27,000 worth of taxes. And I said, you've got to write, look, I'm not trying to pad my way out here, but you have to write a bond for the taxes. Because what happens is that these mortgage companies and or banks, they will come in, they will go to the county assessor, they will pay taxes. If you're paying the taxes on a property, you own the property. And there have been cases, a number of cases, mind you. There was one guy where Bank of America foreclosed on his home, took his house away from him. He had his home paid off for 15 years or so. And Bank of America came in and foreclosed on his home because they went in and paid the taxes. Now, you're a homeowner and just figure, oh, well, maybe the county's making a mistake. Obviously, somebody's paying your taxes. You think, wow, that's pretty cool. That's all great. It's good for me. Only to then realize that whoever's paying the taxes on your property owns your property. And it's all even more of a scam, too, because unless you live in a homestead state like Florida or Texas, as an example, I think maybe Wyoming, you can't really own property. You're a feudal tenant. You're a resident. And there's a huge difference between the word resident and domicile. A resident is a slave. A resident is, do you own your house? Yes. Can they, if you don't pay taxes on your property, can they take it away? Yes. Well, then who owns your house? Obviously, it's not you. So that's the trick. And that's why, remember all these Enron guys that all got sued or went to jail or whatever? They all got to keep their houses because it's a homestead state. They will not take your home or your physical property away from you. So anyway, there's that. Student loans. So this lady was just ecstatically happy. So now she's calling me after, and I took quite a load of crap, I might add. Her husband was completely incredulous. He was like, he fell on the floor. He thought it was so weird that they would cancel the sale. And I said, well, it works. And when you're doing a lot of this alternative stuff, it just has a tendency to kind of work out in the end. Especially with court cases, when you write off a court case, they will usually just terminate the case. And the plaintiffs in the case, because once again, a lot of this is only used for knowledge and defense, like the force, if you will. And you can then write off a bond of a case. You walk in and say, I'm not going to plead this case. I'm not going to argue one way or the other. And I've done this in cases where I refuse to argue. I plead to the well-pled facts of the case. How much do you want? Since it's all about money anyway. And all you are is you're just shills. You're basically you're a corporation disguising itself as a government. How much money would you like? I've got a $500 billion bond on deposit with the Treasury for indemnity for something exactly like this. Here you go. Help yourself. I wrote off a court case. Absolutely true. I wrote off a court case in Washington State and the funny part about it is that the plaintiffs in the case, if you bring in the court case, if you pay off the court doesn't give a flying fig and a rolling donut, what happens to anybody in the case. As long as the court gets paid, they don't care. They just let the whole thing go. They'll terminate the case. They'll just like, case terminated, thank you, we got paid, and keep the money. And so there's a court case in Washington State. The plaintiffs, quite frankly, the plaintiffs are complete assholes. I mean, I try not to ever swear on the radio, but they were assholes. And they deserved everything that they got, these people. And, we're suing people that completely did not deserve it at all. And so in the case, the judge was, you know, and the judge was a jerk and he didn't know what he was doing. So I think there was a judgment in the case where, once again, the plaintiffs went in, the defendants went in, defendants, quote, and said, again, not going to plead in the case, not going to argue, not going to place ourselves in your jurisdiction. We'll write a bond to indemnify all the parties just to show that we're going to peace and as a benefit to the public trust, which is what you're trying to do, as a benefit to the public trust. I think the final court case was – this is absolutely true. The final court case was – I think the judgment was $500,000. We wrote a bond for $1.5 million, three times the amount. Judge and the court helped themselves to the $500,000. Then they tried to transfer the case to Los Angeles, and they ran into a judge here named Audrey Collins, and she knew what to do. And she opened and closed the case on a Friday morning for $250,000, opened and closed the case on a Friday afternoon for $250,000, waited over the weekend, opened it, closed it Monday morning, opened it, closed it Monday afternoon, $250,000 each time. And the city, the county, and the Southern District Central District of California helped itself to $1 million off this bond. And the only way I found out about it was we were in helping somebody else on a case and just happened to look it up in the Pacer or whatever it was. And Melissa was the one that found it. She's the one that said, oh my goodness, look at this. They voided out the bond and helped them. They made $1 million off this bond. So yeah, so you know, we charge $2,500, which is a deal, especially when people are writing off these, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. And we did have a lovely girl who, you know, came down. She did all the paperwork, and she's like, "Well, I can't pay you right away." And you know, I'm like, "Okay, whatever." Okay. For a long time, conspiracy theorists, and by the way, the Bilderberg meeting of 2014 is happening in Denmark, of all things, and there's a coming out of the Illuminati. They're finally – the Bilderberger now is on the – it's on the front cover of The Guardian. It's being covered all over the place. By the way, do me a favor. Call Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity is basically – if Eric Cartman from South Park grew up and had a talk show, it would be Sean Hannity. You won't respect my authority. And actually, Hannity and Combs would be Eric Cartman and Timmy. You know, you're a stupid Democrat. Timmy. Call Sean Hannity sometime and say, "Hey, Sean Hannity, what about the Bilderbergers?" He'll go, "I don't know what you're talking about," and hang up the phone on you. Like with Glenn Beck, you call him and say, "Hey, what about 9/11? Ah, you're crazy. It's, you know, all Arabs destroying stuff." So for a long time, conspiracy theorists have been trying to prove to the public that the Illuminati is a real organization, one that is corrupt from within, one that is led by Satan and his minions. And this organization is the enemy of all God-fearing Christians and the like. Fritz Springmeier is an Illuminati researcher, and he exposed the bloodlines of the Illuminati as well as all of the mind control programming that goes along with it. Now he's coming out with more groundbreaking findings that were sent to him directly from the head of the Illuminati itself, or so he claims. Now what Fritz has supposedly received from the leader of the Bilderberg group is a truthfully jaw-dropping, if it can be proven true. Not only did William Cornelius Van Duyn, D-U-Y-N, say in his speech that we need transparency to the public about what we do, so did a chairman of Goldman Sachs, which can be found. There was actually a video actually posted on this site. It goes on for a while, so I don't think I can play the whole thing. But it's all being said. This all being said is breathtaking because in his speech he mentions economic collapse and many more events that a lot of us are waiting for. So to clear up any confusion, Freedom Fighters 2127 does not endorse any of these groups involved in getting this information, but it is worthy of reporting if we can find that it is 100% true. So there is a speech here, but it goes on, like I said, it goes on for like 17 minutes. That's kind of weird. The chairman of Goldman Sachs, Peter Sutherland, was actually confronted out in front of the Bilderberg at the Bilderberg meeting. It's a creepy looking guy. Again, to Fritz, this is the man that is head of the Illuminati and the Bilderberg group. Strange times we live in indeed. However, this is very prophetic because whatever is done in the dark has come to light before it all ends. So that being said, we must be closer than ever to the collapse and the epic changes that are due from our world. Let me give you, I mean, here's a, if you don't mind, bit of a transcript from this. So here is some of it. This is from Fritz's website. I'm sorry, I'm not really up to reading stuff, but William C. Van Dunn's opening remarks to the Bilderberg meeting, and this is posted by admin at Fritz on May 30th of 2014. Fritz says, quote, this is a first step in my life. I believe this is the first step in my life. I know that my decision is right to send you my speech. I have this urge to open the whole system and to show the openness. It will take some years to make the population understand. It is a premiere for you too. I wish you good luck and strength. You are a man of courage. W. These are William Van Duyn's opening remarks to the Bilderberg meeting 2014. Here it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome you to the 60th edition of the Bilderberg meeting here in Copenhagen. Since the creation of the Bilderberg meeting back in 1954, my father, William Gerrit Van Dunn, His Royal Highness Prince Barnhard of Lippe-Biesterfeld, Henry Kissinger, decided to organize an event to unite different entities from industry, politics, and culture. After the fourth meeting, back in 1958, the Bilderberg members put together the conditions of the Treaty of Rome. It was finally signed, and the European community was born with six state members. Today, the European community contains 28 countries. And today, the Bilderbergers advise 134 state members. Today, my speech will be officially published by our new enemy, the media. The media is their enemy now? Wow. He means us. He means me. He means you, if you're listening to this program. He goes on to say, Bilderberg isn't a secret society, never was. Perhaps in the eyes of the population, but what we did is we kept our topics and our decisions to ourselves. We are not evil. I do not have an all-seeing eye. My ancestors only made sure the eye is on the U.S. dollar bill. Bilderberg is no conspiracy, but people and conspiracists with their infantile fantasies see it as such. None of you, and I don't care how powerful you are, sit around the table in a dark room holding hands, staring at a crystal ball, planning the world's future. The exuberant myth created by conspiracy theorists, journalists, and media moguls has been fabricated about the image of the Bilderberg. But are they really the cause of our consequences? Didn't we involve ourselves into this luxurious, secretive, mystical image? Going back in time, I am today in conversation with a certain controversial researcher who studied the Illuminati for more than two decades. This is Fritz Springmeier. I respect this gentleman for his courage and his vision. I want to change history. I do believe that mankind has a right to their future. The population is frustrated, manipulated, and demoralized by their own leaders. They live in their own Cartesian fantasies, with the hope that God will send a Messiah to save their souls. God has other plans with humanity. He creates the balance between good and evil. Times change. I'm glad to feel those changes. I feel a general awareness and singularities of awakened ones. People are beginning to ask me the good questions. Their main question is, what is right? It's a phenomenon of response and reaction to an overly felt perception that the entire world is doomed to catastrophe, poverty, injustice, and misery. What makes the Bilderberg so strong? It is because of its perseverance. Members are coming and leaving. Guests come and go. But the system grows stronger and stronger. No president, no king, no dictator, nor prime minister dares to criticize my name or the Bilderbergers, and they know they are the puppets of the powerful Illuminati working from behind the scenes. The general economy is collapsing. People are grasped by something they don't always understand, but it forces them to act in a blind way for their own interest. That's what they are doing in major countries and certainly in the United States, the anthropic country. Hillary Clinton told me yesterday, It's like a streaming movement came upon America and washed its pride away. As people realize that their existence is threatened, they pray to God, blame their government, the Bilderbergers, and the king of Satan called the Illuminati. At the recent Council on Foreign Relations speech in Brussels a few days ago, I warned that a, quote, global population awareness, unquote, was threatening a revolution towards their governments. You come from very different ideological, economic, cultural, and political backgrounds. What unites us is that we are all determined to find the solution for humanity and its humankind. And those who work for their own greediness, success, and hunger for fame, who have sold their nations like the Bushes, Mugabe, Oban, al-Bashir, Kim Jong-un, are traitors. Not only traitors of their people and their nations, but for humanity as a whole entity. The subject of this Bilderberg meeting is the one world government. 7 years ago, the economy of Europe almost collapsed. It wasn't because of the Europeans' weak economy. It came right to us from the United States of America with their unstable banking system. The bursting of the U.S. housing bubbles, which peaked in 2006, caused the values of securities tied to U.S. real estate pricing to plummet, damaging financial institutions globally without mentioning the national debts. World economy crisis because of American housing? Because of their gluttony? Does the rest of the world economy need to rely on the U.S. economy? Another key is implemented in the United States, a universal principle of welfare on which the United States is based. But welfare does not mean a useless bum sitting on the couch, eating a pizza, slobbering the beer over himself, watching television, while he or she is waiting for an unemployment check to arrive. Please ask an average man the intention of the existence of humans or our government. Would his or her answer be to provide for the general welfare of future generations of mankind? I don't think so. People want a nation, an empire. Educate the people. That is what they want. Globalization. People believe that in order to have an empire, you need money. But money is not a result of wealth. The economy is not based on money, but on production and innovation. Money does not make the world go around. Money has no value. They have now been rid of money.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
I'm Joshua P. Warren. Imagine a box that can make your wishes come true. Does it sound unbelievable? Do you know, over the years, books have been burned and people have gone to prison for discussing this? Why? Because millions of people around the world say it works. I'm talking about the Wishing Machine Radionics Box. These are extremely rare, and for a limited time, you can get one. Go right now to StrangeUniverseRadio.com and click the link to watch a free video about the Wishing Machine and what it can do for your health, relationships, finances, and more. The Wishing Machine can help you with most any problem. Again, you can't find these every day. So go right now to StrangeUniverseRadio.com and watch the free video to learn how the Wishing Machine can help you. You'll see why I and countless people around the world use one every day.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not
be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Paradigm.com isn't just famous for life-changing medallions transforming your reality, but that we also have the greatest cutting-edge supplements on the planet. We provide Shaoguchi with Fotai root. The Chinese use it for longevity, sexuality, and replenishing lost qi, removing radiation, warming the blood, and nourishing the liver, kidneys, and eyes. Pyrolite, our powdered electrolyte mineral drink, is packed with over 78 plant-extracted minerals. Start your day with a boost that's all natural and organic. Use Pyrolite with our third-generation full-spectrum vitamins that promotes balanced synergy, oxidation, and anti-inflammatory support. Sourced from the best growers in the world and all soy, dairy, and GMO-free. Used together, these enhance you physically, allowing you to feel our Pyrodyne systems and nuclear receptors working from the inside out. Walk with us to new horizons, being the very best that you can be.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Pyrodyne.com. That's Pyradyne.
Can holograms create a quantum leap in your life? Science says the very nature of our universe is holographic, that all matter is light and energy in its frozen state. Holographic replication of the base atomic structure now allows us to charge and change matter into the forms and patterns we wish. And now you can harness the near infinite power of holograms in your everyday life to serve you for your greatest and highest good. Researchers at thunderandlightteam.org have successfully now used holograms to add properties to a target, completely changing its attributes and potential. These holograms have been reported to increase green gas mileage, protect against cell phone EMF, computer and microwave radiation and harmful toxins, aid in the sleep cycle, remove bitterness, changing the pH of your food and drinks. The possibilities are endless, and these findings are verified by leading quantum scientists and physicists worldwide. Now you can experience this miracle of science in your everyday life. Download your first holographic emblem absolutely free and learn more about this cutting edge tech at thunderandlightteam.com. That's thunderandlightteam.com. Make your life better than you ever thought possible.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out.
Not me.
Get it done.
Revolution Radio. Where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
universe.
Children play in the park. They don't know.
Oh, we're at least going to do it until... it's got a big, long introduction. Wait, at least do it until he makes his time.
Time and time again, I see your face smiling inside.
Why is Chicago in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Did they finally, because there's been so many different people in Chicago over the years. I think they finally inducted him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It took a long time, though. They just inducted Cat Stevens. They inducted Hall & Oates, finally. I actually have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame show that I've got to watch. I just actually also just watched the, because I've been sick, so I've been looking at everything. Let me see. I watched every episode of Fargo. Wouldn't recommend it. Really kind of dull and boring. I get it. It's supposed to be big, long panning shots of bunches of nothing. I can't buy Martin Friedman, who plays Dr. Watson and Bilbo Baggins, as being like a Midwest guy from Fargo who's like, hey, I'm an insurance sales. Hey, I'm like, really? Did we run out of Americans? Do we not have any Americans who can play this part? I watched every episode of Fargo. What is it? Billy Bob Thornton, a guy from Sling Blade. Yeah, I want a tuna sandwich. Yeah. He was actually pretty cool. Watched Fargo. I've been sick, so I've been gorging on TV. Watched Fargo. Wouldn't recommend it. Wouldn't recommend sitting all the way through it. Watched all the Mad Men's. Those are great. Game of Thrones is finally, stuff's finally happening in Game of Thrones. And of course, Peter Dinklage, the dwarf. He's probably going to be sent to the Wall, and he's going to be the one that's probably going to engineer the. I don't know. Anyway, Game of Thrones is getting good. I don't want to wreck it for you, but I would recommend Game of Thrones. It's getting better. The first like four seasons where nothing happened and it was just buttockses and floppy penises was just no fun at all. Of course, that's HBO. It's always on HBO, which with the exception of Game of Thrones has nothing else. It's all crap. And HBO stands for either has bra on or his butt only. That's what HBO stands for, because there's like no titties on HBO at all. You used to pay for titties. Now all the titties are on Stars and Showtime and all that. So. Anyway, look, this thing I'm reading, if it's real, if it's true, this is one of the first major announcements. We're talking about a guy who is not only controls a multi-trillion dollar organization of Goldman Sachs that can change the course of mighty rivers, literally, as far as the world economy goes. But if this really is the first major public statement from the head of the Illuminati, from the head of the whole Bilderberg group, then it's world-changing. So let me finish this, because I think what he's talking about here is fascinating. Where he says here, and it may have been let me go back just a bit. Another key is implemented in the United States, and by the way, once again, this is the speech of a man. This is William C. Van Duns' opening remarks at the Bilderberg meeting in 2014 in Denmark. William C. Van Duns, and. Chairman of Goldman Sachs is actually coming out. Chairman of Goldman Sachs looks like just the face of evil, this guy, Peter Sutherland. Talk about an Ashkenazic, Mongolian, Eastern European nightmare at the Bilderberg conference coming out. And for some reason, the uniform for these guys seems to be the navy blue jackets and the pink shirts. I'm not exactly sure why. Pink shirts and navy blue jackets are now their uniforms. But these are the opening remarks. And if this researcher can be believed, if this really is off the website – well, this is off the website of Fritz Springmeier, who's been an Illuminati researcher. And this is the real deal. This is earth-shattering stuff. So here we go.
Sean.
Yeah.
This guy, he's mentioning bushes by name. He's throwing the bushes under the bus.
Correct.
If this is real. But is this the speech as was spoken, or is this Fritz Springmeier's kind of with added anecdotal in there?
No. This is supposedly the...
The transcript.
This is the transcript of the speech posted by admin at Fritz on May 30th, 2014. So here's what he says once again. This is the first step in my life. I know that my decision is right to send you my speech. So this is William C. Van Dunn claiming that he sent him the speech. I have this urge to open the whole system and to show openness. It will take some years to make the population understand. It is a premiere for you too. I wish you good luck and strength. You're a man of courage. W. That is the note that was written by William Van Dunn, according to Fritz Springmeier, where he sent him a copy of his speech. And this is the transcript of his opening remarks at the Bilderberg Conference in Denmark. So he claims, if it's real. And we can't vouch for that, but you know, Fritz Springmeier has been a pretty, I would say, very 90%+ credible source for all of this information. And the Bilderbergers are not real fond. I might point out, him throwing the Bushes under the bus, please allow me to point out that the Bushes have run afoul of the Bilderbergers. I've been talking about this for quite some time, that there are two – remember, the Bilderbergers, the real name, the only reason they call themselves the Bilderbergers is because they met at the Bilderberg Hotel in 1954 in Baden-Baden, Germany. It is my opinion, again, from the research that I've done, that the true inner core is called the Incunabula. And Incunabula is a Latin term which means it's what Christ called his enemies. He said, "Thou whited sepulcher, thou nest of vipers." And actually, Incunabula is a Latin term which literally means nest of vipers, or nest of young vipers, really, is what it stands for. So Bilderberg is an outer name for the inner board of the Incunabula. And I've talked about this quite some time, that you have a panel that and all, everything that I've been talking about since 1998, 97 about the Bilderbergers has been confirmed. Now that you have a man released all of his notes of the first 4 years or so of the Bilderberg meetings, including photographs, and he released all of this information upon his death to the University of Connecticut. And now you have photos of the first Bilderberg meeting in 54 at the hotel. You see that it's a steering committee, that it's not just a luncheon club. It's not just a bunch of rich guys get together to just, you know, talk shop, if you will. There is a directed agenda to whip these people into shape as to where to take their trillions of dollars as a way to basically get a higher yield from the farm, to make sure the sheep are getting shorn in the most effective means possible. And now that's been confirmed years later. And my opinion is that you have a board of 15 people on the that are at the center of the Incunabula. You have visitors to the Bilderbergers, which relates to anywhere between 300 to about 650 people or so. The 15 members of the board are numbered 1 through 15. We don't really know who they are. Of course, now for the first time, we're now learning that if this speech is legitimate, that William C. Van Dunn is now either the head of the Bilderbergers, or at least is giving the opening speech. As I was under the impression, the Incunabula, which is the steering committee, is made up of 1 through 15, with 15, the code name of 15, which I think is interesting because 15 is actually the devil card. The 15th card in the tarot deck is the devil. And 15, 1 plus 5 is 6 and what have you. So the idea here being is that they're the steering committee and they're the ones that are making all the decisions. And that 15 is, in essence, the head of the board and is sort of the CEO of planet Earth. So anyway, so while I have time here, let me read the rest of this. So here he says to just go back. I do not believe that. Hold on one second. I mean, that's too far back. All right. The subject of this Bilderberg meeting is okay. And here is why he mentions the Bushes, Mugabe, Orban, al-Bashir, Kim Jong-un, which the New World Order has gone after. They've obviously gone after al-Bashir. They've obviously gone after Kim Jong-un. Here was the big disagreement in 2002 amongst the Bilderbergers. The disagreement was, and this was the two factions of Bilderberg, one representing the Rothschild faction, which is the royal houses of Europe, which is the money, which is the banking interests, and the Rockefellers, on the other hand, who basically control oil, technology, and the U.S. Navy, which guarantees the distribution of oil. That's why you always have Hillary Clinton or Henry Kissinger or John Kerry. You always have a major Rockefeller guy as Secretary of State, because they're the ones that are ensuring that oil gets delivered, and then it gets delivered in petrodollars and whatever else. So here's the big argument that went on in 2002. You had a big argument in 2008 as to whether or not to make Hillary president of the United States or Barack Obama, and the Rothschilds won that one. They said to Hillary, look, people don't like you. We'll have armed and open revolt. Better to pick this man made out of nothing, this straw man, this empty suit, this meat puppet to put up as president that nobody knows anything about. We don't care that he's born in Kenya. We'll just cover all that stuff up. But better to get a black guy that nobody can criticize, to play into the white guilt and all the propaganda that we've built into the music system and sports and whatever else, that these people are above criticism. So they won that one, the Rothschild one. Now, in 2002, The argument was whether or not to give the Bushes permission to invade Iraq. And this was, again, you had George Soros standing up, yelling and screaming at this meeting, saying, if you let the Bushes into Mesopotamia, if you let them invade Iraq, it is the camel's nose under the tent, and you will never get rid of them. And the Bilderbergs said, okay, look, we're going to give you Bush guys, because they were saying, well, it's a personal thing, and we got to get rid of Saddam, and Saddam is going to do an oil bourse in gold, and he's going to back the Iraqi dinar in gold, and he's going to mess up the whole apple cart, and it's going to screw up all of our oil. And the Bilderbergs said, okay, you can go in, you can finish the job, you can take out Saddam, but you get Saddam and you're done in 6 weeks. You're done. Understood? And the Bushes said, oh, yeah, we understand. And it was Soros that stood up and said, you can't trust them. You can't trust that they're only going to be there 6 weeks. Once they control Mesopotamia and once they control Iraq, you can control all of Asia Minor for the next century. I mean, anybody that's played Risk understands that. And he stormed out of that meeting, actually. And he took $6 million out of his own pocket, and he started a radio network called Air America, which was dismally stupid. I mean, it's just dismally stupid. It was and by the way, the remnants of Air America, the Rachel Maddows, the Rachel Maddows, if you will, of the world, they're now on MSNBC, which nobody watches, because you can't defend the liberal, communistic, totalitarian, socialist crap that these people foist upon you. And the only reason it works on television is because they don't have anybody to argue with them. They don't have anybody that can stand up on their hind legs and say, wait a minute, what you believe is stupid. What you believe is about the control of the human population. What makes you better than me? So, you know, anyway, so that's what George Soros did. He took $6 million and he started Air America, which was this crappy, stupid, left-wing, communistic, totalitarian, socialistic, politically correct network, which didn't last very long. But what he wanted to do was create a consensus against George Bush specifically. So, yes, the Bushes have been a pain in the ass to the Bilderbergers. And by the way, the reason George Bush went in at 6 weeks and said mission accomplished, he had every intention of just going out of Iraq. And it was Dick Cheney that basically became president of the United States at that time, totally disempowered Bush. And he's the one that took over and said, nope, we're not leaving. And we had Saddam. We had Saddam. I am telling you. We invaded on, I think, March 19th, I think it was, 17th to 19th. And by April 1st, we had Saddam in a room with guys that I know beating the snot out of the guy. And I had a producer in New York hand me his cards that I was an Army intel, and I know for a fact that what you're saying is true. And the whole nonsense of us pulling him out of a spider hole on December 3rd of 2003, the same day we went in and raided Michael Jackson's house as well, the whole thing was a complete fake. It was a total setup. We'd had Saddam the entire time. And we just want an excuse to storm around the country, loot the banks, control all the power points, possibly control the stargates in Iraq, loot the museums, and kill his kids and take control of the country. Because if we just got Saddam, then there'd be no reason for us to not, you know, for us to be there. Okay, so another key here. I'm going back to what Van Duyn is saying here. Another key is implemented in the United States, a universal principle of welfare on which the United States is based, but welfare does not mean a useless bum sitting on the couch eating a pizza, slobbering the beer over himself, watching TV, while he/she is waiting for an unemployment check to arrive. Please ask an average man the intention of the existence of humans or of government. Would his or her answer be to provide for the general welfare of future generations of mankind? I don't think so. People want a nation and empire. Educate the people. That is what they want. Globalization. People believe that in order to have an empire, you need money. But money is not a result of wealth. The economy is not based on money, but on production and innovation. Money does not make the world go around. Money has no value. When families are harvesting their own vegetables and fruits in their garden, they may have more value and real money. That's absolutely true, by the way. Human mind control, human minds affect the planet. This is how it is measured. It means immortality for the soul of humankind. We are able to enjoy the universal principles. It allows people to innovate, to believe, and to harmonize the relation between man and nature. Humans are destroying their own life on purpose by their hunger for higher living standards. They are digging their own grave, pushed by their own debts. If humanity doesn't change its attitude, 35% of the population will be wiped out. They destroy their own creative power with no reason. Population blamed on the Depression. But the 2008 Depression was not an event that wiped out the world capitalists. It was meant to make the world population aware of their greediness and laziness in their life, to let them face the spectacle of poverty. They blame the banks, the governments, and all of us. Let's give them what they want. Why don't we give them the right of ruling the nature of economy, social welfare, the game of the wars, and the innovation of the future? The Greeks are blowing the European system with their unpayable debts. The French are voting the National Front to rescue French patriotism. The Italians are Italians. I do not ask you to be too emotional. We're not Spanish. I don't even want to go the direction of Eastern Europe, Russia, nor Asia. And then comes Brussels and the European community. Let's fire them all. Those horrible, useless people sitting in nice conference rooms. Kick out Herman Van Rompuy. Sorry, Herman, but he is useless. Brussels, the evil city of the world, ruled by the Illuminati. Washington, those wet rags, fighting between dumb Republicans with their belief in guns and gospels against the stupid Democrats and their socialism ideology following the rules of Lenin. Ask a Republican redneck the difference between socialism and fascism, or the Democrats about guns and gospel. Does the government even know what the needs of its citizens are? Do they know about the middle class and its poverty? Are they aware about the lack of education of its citizens? The truth behind the abomination of the health system? We need to resolve the American problem for its population. With a stronger America, we will be able to influence the world economy in the right direction for humanitarian purposes. We will have a better understanding in the Asian market. Guns, gospels, and socialism will not help them. Each single American has to do it by him or herself. Population will rule perfectly the world for the greater good of humanity. I'm talking about morality and not scientific nor economic problems. Do people think about their future in 10 years? What kind of future will they have in 5 decades? Do they have a right to dream? Who are the bad guys here? I told myself all humanity must be saved, but is it really possible? The brutality in humanity only waits for the courageous and the sane human to perfect the concept of nations. I believe in the fraternity of nations, but at the moment, governments are ruling by their own personal political agendas, manipulated by the interest of the industries either to solve the problems in their countries. It is the duty of the Illuminati to control every movement within any government to provide security to its population. Therefore, we create the rules. We decide about nations' policies. The Bilderberg needs to guide the economic factors in the right direction and build trust within the population. I refuse any secrecy of decisions made by us. Why should we continue to rule the system behind closed doors? Why wouldn't we face the population with their own mirror and tell them, hey, wake up? Bilderberg meetings are a tool of the Illuminati. It runs because of the Illuminati. Bilderberg is the strongest and most powerful association, the perfect concept for sound economic security by keeping the world order in shape and the initiator of mankind in the age of reason. I want this Bilderberg to be – what? Oh, please. What did you just do? Something just popped up on my screen. Hold on. Something like – a red woman in some Game of Thrones costume just popped up on my screen there.
Were you concentrating on, or were you looking at the red dress?
No, exactly. So something just popped up on my screen. It was just stupid. Just came out of nowhere. Let me see. Washing those red.
No, go back. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. And you got 3 minutes or 1 minute.
I told myself all humanity must be saved. Here we go. governments manipulated economic factors. Okay. The Bilderberg needs to guide the economic factors in the right direction and build trust within the population. I refuse any secrecy or decisions made by us. It runs because of the Illuminati. Bilderberg is the strongest, most powerful association, the perfect concept for sound economic security by keeping the world order in shape and the initiator of mankind in the age of reason. I want this Bilderberg to be the first meeting in a new direction, providing openness to the population in regard and respect for future generations. Next year, positive results will show to the world that we are not evil, but we help humanity because humanity is not able to rescue itself. Interesting. Positive diversity is the only hallmark of progress with an insurance policy for the population. End of speech as it was sent to me. Note, after Fritz posted this, he says, I discovered that some corrections have been made and sent to me. Mr. Van Duyn realized it was the 60th, not the 62nd meeting. He had been thinking of something else when he first wrote the number down. It was late in the evening when I got home and posted this, and I didn't realize some corrections had been sent to me. When I did see it, that was a big enough change to warrant me correcting it immediately. So there you go. If this is in fact true, it is interesting. It would be if Fritz here has really published something, it is interesting and unusual that this is the first time that Bilderberg's really announced on the front page of The Guardian, as an example. So here's some of the interesting comments on this. I don't know if this is even right. Somebody named Chess. Putin 6, Obama 0. I'm not sure if this is even – it's not even relevant to whatever it is. All right. The real Illuminati was the Knights of Columbus. Those, you know, just, you know, these jackasses that comment on stuff about Knights of Columbus and Order of Hospitallers and St. John and the Jesuits. Sorry, whatever. Anyway, so there it is. So that's what do you think? You know, the Bilderbergers, well, the good guys?
This is a very interesting little turnout. I mean, they've got somebody to blame. Isn't this a kind of European faction versus the American faction? And the American faction are very, very much out on a limb and not supported by the rest of the world. But
no, that's the Rockefeller gang, the Rockefeller Bush gang, are the ones that are the ones that are like. Again, I think it's the two factions are. You have the Rothschilds, the Rothschilds, which are also the British monarchy, the banking system, the old money. I mean, everybody blames the Jews as an example of this, but it's just because they run the banking system. You know, you just have to remember that the Rothschilds or Meyer Amstel and what we think of as the Jewish banking cartel are merely the representatives of this very old money that stretches back to, again, the kings of Spain and Scandinavia and England and the de Medicis of Italy and all those things. And once again, they represent the old money, whereas the Rockefellers represent oil, and they got their space at the table by being all about oil and not about coal. Hey, JP, thank you so much for being with us. And I want to say thank you for all our friends in Ireland and Scotland. God bless you worldwide. Strange Universe has become the number one radio talk show, actually, in the world out of 10,000 internet stations, thanks to you and your support. Please donate. We do the dirty work, so you don't have to. StrangeUniverseRadio.com. You can email me at support@StrangeUniverseRadio if you're interested in getting a reading, getting some bond work, getting debts written off. Let me know what's left. JP, thanks again. God bless you.
You're welcome. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
What are we supposed to do?
I'm going to fight because I'm used to it. The rest of you are going to have a tougher choice. And look, I don't want to sell it to you. It's too ugly for that. And it's ugly and it's hard. But when you're fighting in your own backyard, you're fighting for your family, it all hurts a little less and it makes a little more sense. But for us, this is our home.
Even the tiniest flea can drive your big dog crazy. So the first thing we have to do is learn how to work together. Become a unit. And that's going to take some time. So we're going to have to evolve. Rewire our reflexes. Learn new skills and adapt old ones. So we'll find people we can trust. Friends with their ears to the ground who can help us get the things we need to fight back. Watch what they do. Study their tactics, their routines. The more we know, the easier it will be to hurt them. But we'll need to be smart and we'll need to be patient.